let's stand for the singing of the verses. Now thank we all our God with heart and hand and voices. Oh, wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given. The Son and him who reigns with him in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus is, was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to see you today. Good morning, you beloved community. You are welcome here. We are so glad for your presence. If you are a long-time sitter in this room, welcome back. If you are a first-timer, or a second-timer, or a third, we're so glad for your presence here as well. Those of you who are joining us online today, thanks for participating in the life of this church that way, too. You are an invaluable piece of this congregation, so thanks for that. Well, up on the slide, in just a second, you'll see all sorts of colored cards. If you'll take a moment to fill some of those out, the blue ones to let us know that you're here, those pink ones if you have some kind of prayer request that our shepherding team can be made aware of, those yellow ones to send out some encouragement to folks in this congregation. We'll talk about one specific person in this congregation at the end of our service that hopefully we can send some of those yellow cards to. But for now, I just want to say thanks again for your presence. We have a beautiful day planned. I'm so thankful to be here in person with you today. As we always do, I am going to light our candle, which represents Christ and his presence among us and in us. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 15, three slides, Chels. Would you stand, please, as I read from Psalm 15? Let's remain standing for the three songs that follow and for the time of silent prayer. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and who do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. Let's sing together.
This is the season for a new anointing. This is the season for fresh outpouring, that the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for his pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory may arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Over all the earth you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? Lord, won't you reign in me again? Now we're going to sing on Zion's glorious summit. After this, we'll have a moment of silent reflection and prayer, and we'll be standing during that time. On Zion's glorious summit. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. Lay him their king in a strange divine. I heard the sword and swoop cry. I heard the song and the swoop to join. Here who suffers sword or flame for truth or Jesus' holy name, shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I am and bow before everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast the soul, and the chains of bliss forever. Rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, should sing, Almighty King, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
The passage today is from Luke 7:36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whosoever has forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Thank you, Jessica, for reading so beautifully today. Brent, thanks for leading us in song. All right, that slide means that our young friends can move to the back table if you would like for our roots time. Miss Brandy is already back there. You can join her if you so choose today. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you this morning. 2 weeks ago, when I began writing this sermon and just about finished it, and before I was to head to a gathering to celebrate my mom's 70th birthday, I wrote this as part of my introduction. We had a wonderful time with my family, grateful for the opportunity to do so. Those two sentences turned out to be premature because, as most of you know by now, COVID was an uninvited guest into my house and into my body. Even though my case was mild, it did force the cancellation of my plans to go. And that's still a pretty big disappointment that I'm working through. Instead, I got to read a ton. I got to look out a window. I got to eat by myself. I got to distance myself from my wife and my daughter. Some real fun stuff there. Last Sunday, when I was at home and after the service here, I received several texts and calls and emails from you checking in on me, expressing your concern. Do we need anything? I'm so appreciative of that, and it made my isolation seem less isolating. Thank you. Thanks also to Steve Sandifer for preaching last week. I'm grateful for that too. He was lined up to preach 3 months ago, so the timing on that, was pretty good for him. Well, for the past month or so, we have been spending time in Luke's gospel. We began post-Jesus' baptism and post-40 days of wilderness jumping instead right into chapter 4, where Jesus, as was his custom, walked across the street to a local synagogue for worship. While there, he stood up to read the text for the morning, a little section from Isaiah. If you have joined us any of these last 4 or 5 weeks, then you know that we have been reading aloud the same selection that he did. It's up on the screen now, so would you join me aloud, please, as we read Jesus' pronouncement. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words drive and center Jesus for the rest of his Lucan days. His pronouncement receives good vibes initially, but when he got onto the crowd for thinking and believing that they were the shining sun around which all good news and freedom alone revolves, he stepped into a little hot water. More than a little hot water, actually, because the town folk tried to toss him off of a cliff. So angry were they that he dare suggest that God's grace was bigger than them. Escaping with his body still intact, Jesus launches out to teach and preach the kingdom of God, gathering a few followers along the way, including Peter, James, and John, who were caught unawares by a net-splitting haul of fish and a new purpose in life. Jessica Vaughn preached that 4 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we heard the Sermon on the Level Plain, an up-close and personal homily that Jesus delivered at the base of a mountain trail. He blessed and he woed his hearers, and they, just by listening, knew which category they fell into. 2 weeks ago, the Level Plain sermon continued, where Jesus had the audacity to command anyone within earshot to love their enemies, to do unto others, and to expand the breadth of their relational sphere. And last Sunday, Steve Sandifer preached about a Roman military leader who had a greater faith than anyone Jesus had yet come across, including his own disciples. Since Jesus, up to this point, had been moving around so much from place to place, walking and talking and healing and all the things, it's probably time he takes a load off. He is an advocate for slowing down, after all. Luckily, he finds a place at the home of a Pharisee, a man who belongs to a particular Jewish sect that observed strict adherence to the law. Simon is his name, we later learn. Simon invites Jesus inside. Come, share a meal, enjoy some company, have a seat. It's quite telling that Jesus accepts an invitation from a Pharisee, as he'll do several times throughout Luke's gospel. He is just as likely to dine in sophistication with religious leaders and intellectuals as he is to attend an informal party with unsightly tax collectors and good-for-nothings. See Levi's story for that one. I love that about Jesus. While it's true that some of his meals with Pharisees involved mouse traps and quiz shows, here in this story there's no indication of any of that. Simon is not out to get Jesus in a gotcha moment, catching him in the act of some spiritual misconduct. It promises, rather, to be a pleasant evening. Friends around a table, honored guests in their presence. Even so, there is a whiff of tension in the air. Him with them, can you feel it? There have already been several threatening clouds gathering on Luke's gospel horizon, hints of storms brewing up future trouble. But the weather inside the house would have been insulated from all that. Yet someone opens the door, and what is out comes in. Except it's not a what that comes in, it's a who that comes in. Specifically, a woman of the village who has, shall we say, a certain reputation around town. We don't know, of course, what that reputation is. Traditionally, we have assumed she is a harlot, a prostitute, someone who gets around, but we don't know that. Could be she's just a Yankees fan, and it's hard enough as it is being one of those. Regardless, the same word used here for sinner is the same word that Peter says about himself when he falls at Jesus' feet in chapter 5, what Jessica preached about. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Peter was not a man of the night, not that we know of. Whatever her sin is, that has become her identity, what she is known for. Everyone knows her by that. Luke does too, as he makes it clear in our text who it is that Jesus and Simon are dealing with. Just as people on the sidewalks gossip about her, the news of Jesus dining in the home of a Pharisee reaches her ears. What she knows about him, we don't know that either. But if she was present for his most recent sermon in the section right before ours, then perhaps she heard these words. Go back and report to John the Baptist what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. Sounds a lot like Jesus' pronouncement we read each week, doesn't it? Or this part, John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, yet you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. A friend of sinners. What Jesus' criticizers mean as insult, she takes as hope. A friend of sinners is what she desperately needs, even if that means crashing a party where she is not welcome. Worming her way in through the back door when no one's watching, or perhaps barging in through the front, she heads to the dining room. And there he is, and there they are. She is not concerned about them, though they certainly are about her, but not in a good way. If anyone says anything to her, you can't be here, it's not reported. Only the dramatic scene is. She carries in her arms a bottle of expensive perfume, an inheritance from her mom, bought with funds from her shady profession. She lays the perfume aside, down to the ground. She kneels at his feet, not difficult to do since Jesus is likely reclining, propped up on one elbow near the edge of the table with his ankles angling behind him. She begins to weep, raining tears from her eyes. She weeps for all the sorrow in her life, the twists and the turns that led her to this moment. Some things her fault, others not. The disappointments, the choices, the inevitables, the name-calling, the beyond her controls, all of that. She had dammed up for so long, but in front of him, the dam bursts. And what was pent up cannot be held back any longer, sending forth a torrent with nowhere to go but down. The sound they hear is the ugly cry that most people are familiar with, having done it themselves, with fits and starts and heaving breaths that set the world's teeth on edge. Down the tears go, right to his feet, dusty and bruised and unkempt from his own journey thus far. There are enough tears fauceting out to bathe those feet of his, drip, drip, dripping off the accumulations of his day. And the water is surprisingly clear and cool, its purity pristine like a spring at its source, where you can simply lay on your stomach, lean over, put your lips to the surface, and drink without fear. Then, the unthinkable in the company of these men. She lets her hair down, pulls out bobby pins, releases the tight bun on the top of her head, her hair uncoiling and spiraling downward, falling to one side of her head in front of her shoulder. She grasps that long dark hair like she would a towel from the shelf, and she uses it to wipe and scrub Jesus' feet, tops, bottoms, between his toes. She takes on the grime found down there, pats dry his feet. Now clean, she kisses those feet as a mother would kiss a newborn baby's fingers, or as a grown child would kiss her aging parents' cheek, gently, tenderly, lovingly. It's here that you have to wonder that when Jesus washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13 with a towel wrapped around his waist like a lowly servant, did he have her in mind? Did she inspire him to do the same thing? That she washed her Lord and teacher's feet, and now the Lord and teacher washes their feet, and that he commands his disciples to wash others' feet. Was she the impetus behind it all? This woman goes one step further than Jesus would do, though, because that pricey perfume that she brought on purpose, she now pops the top and pours it onto those feet of his without regard for cost or saving any for herself. The pleasing aroma fills the room, an agreeable fragrance that wafts above and around the bread and the fish still plated upon the table. But only those with eyes to see and ears to hear and noses to smell recognize the perfume as the scent of salvation. Simon the Pharisee has no such nose or eyes or ears, for that matter. As the scene plays out before him, he mutters to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is that is falling all over him. Jesus, who knows the hearts of humankind and, quite frankly, can read body language, says to Simon, I have something to say to you. Do tell, Simon responds. Then flows forth a parable that needs no Cliff Notes version because it's already so short in length. Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, so the banker canceled both debts. That's it. That's the whole parable. And with a follow-up question, which of the two do you think would be more grateful? I suppose the one who was forgiven the most, he says. Yes, says Jesus. He turns his head toward the woman, but speaks directly to Simon. Do you see her? I came to your house. You provided no water for my feet, but she streamed tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You provided no oil for my head, but she soothed my heels with perfume. I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. If the forgiveness is minimal, so is the gratitude. Then Jesus speaks to her as if no one else is in the room. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus, friend of sinners, friend of hers, the one who takes sin away, the one who melts shame away, the one who sees her. Unsurprisingly, not everyone is thrilled by his mercy. The folks at the table with him grumble to themselves like Simon has already done. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? It's not an awful question. They rightly know that only God can do that, but as we ourselves could have easily done and do, they do not recognize the God who smells now of sweet perfume. The bigger issue, though, is their fixation on how other people, and this woman in particular, might be sinning, instead of recognizing how their own sin provides ample backing to many of the problems in the world. Their focus is about regulation, not restoration. That's why Jesus ignores their gripes and says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Her faith, not his, saves her. His words, his presence, his pronouncements about the Spirit of God and recovery of sight moves her, but it's her faith that Jesus commends, a determined trust that she believes who he says he is. How else could she have done what she did, sneaking into a dining room full of men like that, where she knew that she was not welcome? Her faith shone through teardrops of pure love. Her faith revealed by hands that soothed Jesus' aching feet. And her reward? A blessing of wholeness. A benediction with freedom. Go in peace, Jesus says. Only I'm not sure where she will go with it. If the men around this table know her reputation, then surely most of the townspeople do too. Will she go in peace to them? Their grumbling could be as noisy as what just came from the kitchen. Perhaps a better question is, who will receive her? Who will welcome her in peace, the same peace that she herself only a minute ago accepted? Is there a community that can do such a thing? If there is, it will be a people who know they have been forgiven too, with a gratitude that matches the grace that's been lavished upon them. Their love for one another will be evidenced by the water bowl at the front door and the cologne bottle nearby, just in case Jesus shows up, or at least the person that Jesus loves, with their welcome evidenced by the empty chair at the table reserved for someone like her. That's where she can go in peace, maybe a place like this. Finally, what about Simon? After the incident, does the meal continue? Dessert served, Jesus shakes hands, thanks Simon for a nice time, and heads out the door to sleep under the stars since the Son of Man has no place to lay his head? Not sure, but Jesus is a friend to him as well. He is capable, way more than we are, to see beyond Simon's failures to his needs. He loves Simon. It would be easy for us to forget that. But maybe Simon will think about the tiny parable of forgiven bank overdrafts the next time an uninvited guest shows up. Maybe next time he won't preoccupy himself with someone else's salacious sins. And maybe next time he'll get on the floor to help clean those feet. So forgiven is he. May God give us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and noses to smell. And together, friends, we can say or we can type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song. This cornerstone, this common ground, firm through the fiercest drought and a storm. What heights above, what depths of peace, when the fears are stilled, when the striving cease. Our comforter, our all in all, here in the love of Christ we stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the one he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the love of Christ we live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, sin's curse is gone and we are free. For he is ours and we are Christ's, bought with his precious sacrifice. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Once we were blind, but now we see. From common ground to journey's end, Jesus commands our destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. Till he returns or calls us home, here in the power of Christ we'll stand.
Let's be seated. If you are here today, and you are, then you are welcome by grace to this table, to the Lord's table. You are welcome to eat and drink. Forgiveness is found here. Joy is found here. The love of God is found here. So let's eat and drink together. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and as we do as a congregation, if you would like to volunteer to help share the bread and the cup with this church, then you can come forward after I pray, and we'll divvy up the congregation, and we'll do that. Let's pray together, please, and we'll share the table together. For each person gathered here, O God, whether in person or online or in spirit, we give you thanks. For them, we give you thanks for your welcome for all of us, for the love that you have for us, for the grace that you continue to extend to us by the power of your forgiveness. We give you thanks. And so now we eat and drink together as one people, as one body, brought together because of Christ, through whom we pray and do all things. Amen.
Just now.
All right, since we have been given, let us also now give. You can give in numerous ways. If you choose to give your funds today, you can do that in the offering plates that are being passed around. You can also give online, drop it off at the office, hand it to me, and we'll take care of it however you give it. If you filled out some of these cards, then go ahead and drop those in the plate as well, and those will go directly to the office. Let's pray together, and then Larry and Glenn will walk around. Thanks, God, for the continued gifts and blessings you give to us. And as we pray, always give us eyes to see and ears to hear those as you do. Thanks for the generosity of this congregation, as always. And we pray that whatever is given, your kingdom would come and your will would be done. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. This was announced last week, I believe, and it's also in your bulletin. You see Jenny Fagg's birthday celebration, 91, I think, 92, somewhere around there. You can check out the bulletin if you would like to be a part of that celebration, which is a week and a half or so away. We are continuing our collection for Bray's Interfaith Ministry, which is our local food pantry. They have been looking for these specific items, and all through July we've been collecting them, and you can drop them off in the lobby, and King has put out that bin for that. Or you can bring them to the office, and we'll take care of it that way too. The next slide is a video of our friend and brother Ford Mott, who sent me one just a couple days ago. As many of you know, Ford, who typically sits right here about a year and a half ago, signed up for the Army, and so he has been in and out of town. He has recently been deployed, and he sent me a video to tell you more about that. The video is kind of grainy, and the audio is not great, and so after his about minute-long message, I'll come up and try to translate some of what he says. Just in case you didn't catch that. But I want to share this with you, King. If you get the volume, I'm going to click it when you give me a thumbs up. All right, here we go.
Hey, church family. Just thinking another video to let you guys know I finally made the Camp Daring claim. It took a 16-hour flight. I had a couple stops, but I'm just letting you guys know I'm here. I'm safe, and I'm going to be here for the next 9 months. Steve should be able to get my new postage address once I get that sent out. You guys can start sending letters or anything of encouragement, really, and anything really helps. I'm not going to make too many videos, like I said before, just because I'll be working, I'll be busy, but I will make some update videos here and there. I love you guys. I hope you're doing well, and I can't wait to see you guys again. All right. Bye, guys.
Tail end. Hopefully you caught the tail end, which says that he loves you guys, and he finished it up again with, I love you. So thanks for loving Ford back. If you didn't catch that, he took a 16-hour flight to Kuwait, where he is stationed for, I believe, the next 6 to 8 months. I think that's what he said. He also sent me his mailing address. This is what I was mentioning at the beginning of our service with those yellow encouragement cards. If you want to drop an encouragement card in the plate today, or you can hand those to me, or next week, any next couple weeks, I can gather those all together and ship them as one. If you want to just write a note or type something out or an email or just a card, you can hand those all to me, and I will send those as one just in a week or two. But he sent that to us and wanted to make sure that you saw him and that he loves you. All right, our last one. We got classes all over the building today. We sure hope that you can be a part of one of these smaller breakout groups, from the youngest to the oldest. Be a part of one of these, please. All right, our last word today will come from Luke chapter 7 as our benediction. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this as we move forth from here? This is what Jesus says. I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But those who have been forgiven little, love little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You go in peace too. Amen.